Hello, thanks for tuning in. This is Nancy. As a registered dietitian, I get lots of nutrition questions, but in today's episode, I'm going to give you my answers to the three most frequently asked questions. And they all begin with, what do you think of? I want to start by saying that it doesn't matter what I think. What matters is what the facts tell us. What is the scientific evidence? So I'm giving you scientific evidence in regards to these three questions. So the first one is, what do you think of intermittent fasting? The answer to that question is a little bit longer in that we first have to define, what do you mean by intermittent fasting? In general, intermittent fasting is time-restricted eating. Time-restricted eating can be as simple as adhering to a fasting state for 12 hours every day, say from 7 p.m. to 7 a.m., and that means you're containing your eating to a 12-hour window. People have narrowed that window to mean that they start much later in the morning, say 11 a.m., and then cut off eating at 7 p.m. So we've just shortened the period of time in which food can be consumed. The major benefit to this would probably intake fewer calories. But there is definitely a benefit to having a period of 12 hours every day when the body's digestive system gets to renew and regenerate. I also advise taking the last meal at least 2 hours before laying down. Now, by cutting off at, say, 6 or 7 p.m., we probably eliminate some calories we weren't even hungry for. So there's another benefit of that. There is another kind of intermittent fasting, though, and that is where for 2 days that are non-consecutive, say Tuesday, Thursday, the person limits their eating to a minimal number of calories, usually around 300 or 400 per day. And it doesn't matter what time of day these calories are taken in, but we are in fact limiting calories to such a degree for 2 days a week that at the end of the week, we have had a reduction in calories, provided we are eating a healthy diet the other 5 days, and it results in weight loss. And there is some scientific evidence that shows that this kind of intermittent fasting actually improves the body's metabolic responses. So that's what the evidence tells us about intermittent fasting. If you're considering it as a diet, realize that all diets fail eventually. And the most important thing is to be on a pattern of eating that is healthy and that can be sustained for the rest of your life. Another frequently asked question is about the keto diet. First, I want you to understand what the keto diet is. It's a very, very low carbohydrate diet. The calories that would have normally been consumed as carbohydrates are being consumed in the form of fat. The keto diet is an excellent therapeutic diet. The therapy is for treating brain disorders like epilepsy. And there are other therapeutic applications for this diet. They would always be used under the care of a registered dietitian and/or physician. As a weight loss diet, the keto diet has many faults. The first is, it's actually a diet, and people cannot sustain the keto diet for very long because it prevents living a normal life. Secondly, there are lots and lots of side effects. One of them is known as the keto flu. The person feels horrible because the body actually needs carbohydrate to function well. The other downside of this is that they never tell you what fats are okay and what fats you should avoid. All fats are allowed on the keto diet. And we know that many fats contribute to heart disease. Saturated fats from coconut oil, from butter, from bacon. Those things are not good for our heart. The other thing by being on a very low carbohydrate diet is we now make our cells even less sensitive to insulin. And when carbohydrates return to the diet, the body really does not do well in managing glucose. And in a previous episode, I talked about the importance of having good glucose regulations. So forget the keto diet. Eat healthfully. Follow the Mediterranean diet. And if you need guidance on that, let me know and I'll point you in the right direction. And the last question I'm going to answer right after this break. Welcome back. Thanks for hanging around and getting ready to listen to my third question that I'm going to answer in today's episode. The last question I'm going to answer today has to do with lectins. Lectins are found in whole grains, beans, and some other foods. And if not thoroughly cooked, lectins can damage the cells in the digestive tract. And as a result, it might prevent nutrients from being absorbed. But recognize that what I said was not thoroughly cooked. And who eats raw grains and beans anyway? So if you are thoroughly cooking your grains, and if you're thoroughly cooking your beans, or if you are buying them in cans, which they are thoroughly cooked, then there is no concern about lectins. This really came from a book called The Plant Paradox, and it has confused hundreds of thousands of people about good nutrition. Whole plant foods have been part of man's diet for as long as we know. And we do know that a plant-based diet is a healthy diet. So please don't let these fear-mongers scare you into avoiding perfectly healthy food like canned beans and legumes and cooked whole grains. If you have further questions about any of the topics I covered today, please leave me a message. Have a great day, be healthy, be happy, and tune in next week, please. Goodbye.